This is the Illuminate Podcast, a Sandy Boy production. Each week on the Illuminate Podcast, the hosts will bring you insightful conversations and stories of people who are illuminating their own lives through their business, work, community, family, and world. Hello, and welcome to the Illuminate Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emmy Birch, and today we are talking with an emotional intelligence expert, an absolutely empowered human, Jen Rafferty. In this conversation, Jen and I go through all sorts of tools, tips, and techniques to help you cycle through solutions for burnout, the power of language, what is work-life blend, what is the difference between positive psychology and toxic positivity, and what is keeping you from work satisfaction. My favorite part about this episode is that it's not just a conversation. Jen gives you so many tangible tools, tips, and techniques to live into your most authentic version of yourself. It was a real joy to record this one, and I can't wait to see what you think. If you want more, check us out over at patreon.com/theilluminatepod. You can also follow us on social media. Let us know what type of episodes you want to listen to, but I think this one is perfect for the summer. Thank you so much for listening. Today on the podcast, we are talking to my new friend, Jen Rafferty. Hi, Jen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so excited to finally have this conversation after exploring your website and reading your bio and hearing friends rave about you. I'm so excited to talk today. Thanks for being here.
I'm so excited to be here.
You have to tell the listeners, what do you do and how did you get there?
Sure. Well, right now I am the founder of the company Empowered Educator, and I provide professional development that focuses on the social and emotional well-being of the adults in schools. And I've been doing that now for about 2 years. But prior to that, I was a music teacher in the public schools in Central New York for about 15 years. And I will tell you, Emily, I really thought that I would be doing that for my whole entire career. And so things took quite a turn during COVID. I'll kind of give you the skinny of it. In about December 2019, I published my book, which is A Place in the Staff, Finding Your Way as a Music Teacher. And I was super excited to do the college tours and do the book tours and all the things. 2 weeks later, my husband and I decided we were going to get a divorce. And I moved out of my house the same weekend the world shut down with my kids, who were 5 and 7 at the time. And so that was quite a weekend, to say the least.
Wow.
Yes. Wow, indeed. And so quite literally, almost everything I thought I was the day before, I wasn't all of a sudden. You know, the things I really connected with my identity, being a wife, you know, being in that house, being a mom with a co-parent, being a music teacher, you know, singing in of itself was really dangerous at the time. As we all remember, it was our lifeblood was literally ripped out of our chest, right? I know I said literally, figuratively. The you know, this whole, our whole life was just turned upside down. So I really had a chance to reflect on what mattered and what I wanted to prioritize, who I was and who I wanted to be. And I had an opportunity to reinvent myself. So I took off a semester, which I thought would just be a semester to homeschool my kids, and dove into my own healing, started my PhD in educational psychology, became certified as an emotional intelligence practitioner. And when the time came to decide whether or not I was going to go back to work, I decided to resign. And I was really excited about that decision. 4 days later, I was a hot, sobby mess on my couch thinking, what did I just do? But then, you know, Empowered Educator was really born out of that. And there have been wonderful, magical things that happened ever since. And here I am talking to you.
That is, I mean, that's a journey in and of itself that everyone can learn from. I mean, talk about jumping into your unknown and figuring out what your book was titled, Your Place on the Staff. I mean, talking about your place in the world, you just dove head first. Can you tell me a little bit more about what is an emotional intelligence practitioner?
Sure. Well, you know, that particular certification is really just understanding the tenets of emotional intelligence, which is self-awareness, self-regulation, social awareness and relationship management, and being able to not just understand what the practices are, but embody what the practices are, and then be able to teach them. So that's part of what I do. You know, the work through Empowered Educator leverages concepts of emotional intelligence, but it also leverages concepts of mindset and cognitive neuroscience, which gets me all super jazzed up because I love nerding out about brains.
Okay. So let's talk about an application of that. So how would that apply to someone listening? What do they need to know about their own individual emotional intelligence, and how can they work on that?
Sure. Well, that's a huge loaded question, which we could
be
here for days talking about, but I will tell you a big takeaway, which I think is really important and something super easy that people can just do right now. One of the biggest pieces is self-awareness. You can't do anything that, you know, you can't change anything you don't notice, right? So self-awareness is really just about being mindful of where you are right now. And I know many of your listeners are also musicians. And so this is important too, with any sort of performance that we do also. You know, our bodies talk to us all of the time, and we are terrible listeners. We're terrible at it, right? And so when we ignore it, what happens in our body is that the stress gets bigger and bigger, and so we can't ignore it anymore. So what happens is that we have overload of cortisol. So we get knocked out for a few days or a few weeks with illness or disease or potentially, you know, back pain, which is my go-to all of the time. So what does it mean to be aware of your body? Well, as soon as you start feeling that, shortness in your breath or that tightness in your stomach or your shoulders want to be earrings all of a sudden, pause and take stock, because that is your body trying to tell you something. And then once you're aware of this, it's like, okay, well, what do I do about it now? And that's where the self-regulation comes in, and really creating that safety within your nervous system so you can go ahead and do the things you want to do, because you can't do them if you're feeling anxious and stressed out all the time.
That's such a great piece of wisdom too. Just, I think about how many times you suppress whatever your body is trying to tell you. You're right, we're terrible listeners.
Totally.
But that is an easy way to apply this emotional intelligence without just thinking, that's a really good, okay, well, thanks for sharing that. I will definitely employ that. I'm on summer vacation now. I'm pretty sure I am in like the lowest stress zone possible right now.
Yes. But you know, I will say your body still talks to you. And so even if you're not, you know, doing these high performance, high pressure things, you still face stressors throughout your day. You know, you stub your toe, or you're sitting in traffic, or, you know, you wake up late or whatever. Stress happens all the time. And so when we're talking about being self-aware, it's not just like the big things, which are super easy to spot because there's a huge spotlight on those things, but it's also the everyday things. You know, your partner says something that really annoys you. That's stressful. What are you gonna do then? You know, your dog throws up in the house. That's stressful. You know, what about that?
All those things. Yes. Yeah. Okay, this is great life skills. So when you were going back to school for this and starting Empowered Educator, what is your goal? Like, what are the things that you now do in your day-to-day? And what are some of the things that we can experience through that conversation?
Sure. So, I mean, my day-to-day has changed completely. I loved being in the classroom. I thought I was going to do that my whole entire career. I wanted to inspire people to discover their voice. That's what I wanted. I was very clear about that mission throughout my whole entire career. And I taught mostly middle school when I was teaching, and I loved it. Middle school is my jam. I loved doing choir. I loved doing general music. And I also really loved to build things. I built a whole modern band program while I was there. And it was a remarkable place. And what happened was, after COVID happened, I had to obviously figure out how to teach music online, like many of us did. I went back to that mission. I was like, okay, well, I still want to inspire people to discover their voice. How do I do that now? And before I get to my day-to-day now, I'd love to also share kind of the middle part that happened, because this is a really cool part of the story. I decided that I wanted to create a community for people to do just that, to discover their voice. So I created an online singing community during COVID, which wasn't a choir, because obviously we couldn't sing live during that time because of the technology limitations. So I started this thing where we would all get on mute. I would make some tracks on iTunes and we would sing some small layered songs that were repetitive. And what happened was people started telling me, Jen, I like feel like I found my voice because I wasn't embarrassed to sing out loud in a choir. And Airbnb picked it up, which was amazing because that became a global entity then. And then a company called Creative Mornings picked it up. And I would have people from all over the world coming to the singing community, singing together. And it was actually, it was called Sing Together. So
That's so cool.
It was phenomenal. And I share that as part of this journey because then when I realized, okay, well, I need to do something that can sustain me a little bit more than this, it wasn't sustaining me financially. I went back to that mission, was how do I inspire people to discover their voice? And that is a really big part of what I do now. And while it's not in the musical way, what I do is I kind of shine a light on where people's agency is and where their choices are. So they realize that they have agency and choice every step of the way. Teachers especially have been working under incredibly difficult conditions. There are big, major infrastructural problems within our school systems. And it's really easy to blame the system for how we are. And yes, there are problems, and we also have choices. And within those choices, people find their voice. And that has been incredibly powerful for how people navigate through and heal and grow in ways that are healthy.
I love that quote. Yes, there are problems, but we also have choices.
Yes.
What a great light at the end of the tunnel for someone who is just doing the grind and getting through something. But just in your story, Jen, you're sharing so much, like just the initial story of not being scared to take the leap of faith. And then this story of making sure no matter what you're doing, you're flipping back to your mission and your goal in life. I mean, we can learn so much from you already, and we haven't even hit the big hitters. Are you ready for some big hitter questions?
Give them to me.
I'm pretty sure each one of these statements could be an episode in and of itself. So hang tight. This is going to be interesting. Can we talk about your sacrifice / renewal cycle as both the problem and the solution for burnout?
Oh, yes. I love this. So especially in an industry, any sort of service industry, but particularly in education, we have come from the tradition of martyrdom and selflessness. And I really believe that that's a really dangerous model because we're here now. I mean, we are all burned out, right? And a big part of this model and one of the phrases that gets thrown around a lot is, you know, teachers are superheroes. And this is actually something I spoke about in my TED talk too, was, you know, teachers are not superheroes. We cannot compare ourselves to these indestructible and immortal creatures that wear this badge of martyrdom because that's how they were created. We are very much human. We are people. You know, Superman doesn't say, "Hey, you know, I need to take some me time for the day. Sorry, guys, that the world's falling apart." That just doesn't happen. And when it does, right? And so when we subscribe to that, and I will be the first one to say, I fully subscribe to that. That was actually the second sentence that I wrote in my book, was teachers are superheroes. And the reason why I had to subscribe to that narrative was because it justified the chaos. Mm. It justified everything. Because if I was a superhero, then I could just take it. So yeah, things were falling apart in my marriage. Things were falling apart at work. I was under an enormous amount of stress and pressure, not only being a music teacher and all of the stress and pressures that go along with that. I was the chair of my department. I had other leadership roles. And if I was a superhero, then I was fine, right? Because I'm supposed to be. And that is a really dangerous narrative because what was happening under the surface was I was not okay. And as we're seeing now, because COVID highlighted all of this, teachers are not okay, right? Administrators are not. The educational system is not okay. We are not built in a army of superheroes. We are human, and we need to be recognized as such. But that starts with recognizing our humanity first. So, what does that mean for the sacrifice renewal cycle? Well, we need to renew our cup. And sleep isn't cutting it. And this isn't about taking a mental health day or getting a massage or getting your nails done. And don't get me wrong, Emily, I love all of those things. But it's not a sustainable way to live our lives in a way that we can maintain a healthy longevity in our career and enjoy it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what does this look like? Well, the renewal part of this has to come from four different things. First thing is any sort of mindfulness practice. And that means, you know, meditation, yoga, prayer, going through for a walk, getting out in nature, you know, anything where you can be just with yourself is a mindful activity. Second thing you can do is anything that brings you hope, something where you're picturing a future that's bigger, brighter than where you are right now. So that could be planning a trip. It could be planning a girls' night. It could be planning a vacation. It could be, you know, whatever it is, a hope. Third thing is compassion. And this is not the same kind of compassion that we give to our kids where we causes compassion fatigue. This is about reciprocal compassion. So I'm talking about calling a good friend, snuggling on the couch with your cat, taking your dog for a walk, date night, those kinds of things. And then the last thing is joy and playfulness and laughter, which as adults, we don't nearly do as often as we need to, because that is truly medicine for our body. And that way we wake up in the morning feeling renewed and we're not constantly pouring from an empty vessel.
These are such great action items. And I'm over here sitting like, yes, well, I've determined that Thursdays are my beach day. And so good. I have my mindfulness practice.
Yes. But every day, you know, it's every day needs to be just a little something. It doesn't have to be a big thing. I love Thursday beach days, but what are we doing the rest of the week? You know what I mean?
Yeah, walking the dog, calling my friends, call my grandma every day. Like, this is a great check. I love a good checklist.
We love a good list. I agree.
This is great. Okay. What an awesome mentality of getting out of that sacrifice renewal cycle and instead empowering yourself with action items that are actually renewing you.
Yes, because it is a cycle. We're not going to get out of the cycle, but what's happening is the sacrifice part is taking up all of the cycle. And there is no more renewal, you know, or we do a renewal and we say, okay, I'm going to go to the beach on Thursday and play hooky. But then what happens on Friday? And then like we get back in, you know what I mean? Or, you know, we're like, oh, we're going to go get a massage and great. But then what happens the next day or the next week? Mm-hmm. It has to be sustainable. And that's how we keep the cycle going. So we have, there's a couple of things, right? We want to create enough capacity to hold space for the people that we serve in our life that we can't do if we are completely overwhelmed and burned out. So that's one purpose of the sacrifice renewal cycle. But then the second, of course, is the satisfaction, because we don't get up in the morning thinking, I want to have the crappiest day today. Like that doesn't happen, but we don't set ourselves up for success. So in order to have satisfaction in the work that we chose to do in this world, then we need to create a new paradigm where we really understand that the most generous thing we can do for the people in our lives is take care of ourselves.
That's a great statement too. All right. I know we could talk more about the sacrifice renewal cycle, but let's go to the next one.
Sure.
The power of language and how it reflects and directs our reality.
Yeah, this is a juicy one. I love talking about this one too. Our language is incredibly powerful. And we underestimate every word that comes out of our mouth. Actually, I was looking at my mug, but this one's about thoughts. Sometimes I have a mug that says something about language. This idea that your language is a reflection of where you're placing your attention. And your attention is what determines our experiences in this world. You know, our life experiences and our reality consists of what we pay attention to. And we can't see our thoughts, but we can hear the words coming out of our mouth. So when we say things like, I'm not a morning person, I'm always so stressed out, there's never time for me, I'm not good at technology, I'm not good at relationships, you can never outperform or outachieve the language you use. It is quite literally a direct line to your brain saying, oh, okay, so Jen wants to see all of the ways that she's not a morning person. Great, done. You want to see all the ways you're not good at technology? Okay, done. You want to see all the ways you're not good at relationships? Done. Because the words that you speak create your reality. And when we pay attention to our language, we start to pay attention to what we're paying attention to. And that's when things really start to change, because you then get to co-create the things that are going on. If you are constantly saying, I have no time for myself, you don't, right? Even something, a little change of a word is, I didn't choose to prioritize myself today. How am I going to prioritize myself tomorrow? Is a much different statement than I never have time for myself. Mm-hmm. And so your language can be a gatekeeper to understanding where you're placing your focus and attention.
Mm. And that is such a mindful activity in and of itself.
Sure is. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even just think about in the performance world, right? I'm not good enough. I messed that up. I can't do that phrase. Whatever. And we learn these things when we're little, which is one of the reasons why I love working with educators too, is because as teachers, once we start to recognize our own language, we get to start to pay attention to the way our kids talk to themselves, because the way that they talk to themselves become their beliefs, which then become their limitations and the labels that they create about themselves and then their identity. You know, I'm not good at math. I mean, how many people say that even as an adult, which isn't necessarily true, like gravity. It's just a belief that you have about yourself, and it's reinforced by our language.
So what another great tip right there, just to really second guess your language before you say it, not second guess it, but actually think through it before you say it. I can think of a couple of times I've gone running and had like a really hard workout prepping for a marathon. And there's the ones where I'm like, oh, I can't hit these numbers, and I don't hit the numbers. And then there's the ones where I'm feeling really strong, whatever happens today happens, and I hit everything. It's such a great reminder. And that one's numerical based. You can't lie about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%. And that's what it is. It's really everything that I do now comes down to awareness. You know, like I said at the beginning, you can't change things you don't notice. So the more that we're aware and see it through the lens of data, because we're not going to be judgmental about it, because that's not serving anybody. But once we get to notice and be this non-judgmental observer of ourselves, then we get to start asking questions like, huh, that's interesting. The thing I just said right now, is that serving me or not? Is that honoring who I am and who I want to be or not? Because you either are honoring yourself or betraying yourself. And there really is no gray. And being aware of the things that you say can really give you that awareness that we're constantly looking for. And I'm on this journey too. I don't want to give your listeners the idea that I walk around on a cloud in my house singing Kumbaya all the time. I mean, I live here in this world. I have my own stressors and my own two kids. And, you know, I embody this work, which is why I love teaching it. But it's not like you wake up one day and you're, okay, I'm empowered now. And then that's the end. It's a journey.
It is such a journey. And it leads perfectly into the next question. We've talked about the sacrifice and renewal cycle. We've talked about the power of language and how it directs and reflects our reality. Let's talk about the fact that work-life balance is a lie, but work-life blend is how we thrive.
Yeah. I never like the imagery of work-life balance. That in and of itself stresses me out. You know, it's like we're balancing spinning plates or we're juggling balls. And it's if one thing drops and everything collapses, like I even feel it in my chest just talking about it. It's stressful. Mm-hmm. And why are we doing that? It doesn't make any sense to me. So if we just shift our language again, which is why language can be so powerful, to this work-life blend, then all of a sudden there's this fluidity that you allow for yourself, where sometimes your work is going to require more of your time, energy, and attention. Sometimes your home life is going to require more of that. And sometimes you're going to require more of that. And so understanding that there is this ebb and flow, it creates this opportunity for you to give yourself permission to just let go of the guilt and the shame that you might feel if you need to drop a ball for a second, because there is no ball. There's There's just life. And
we need to say that again. We need to say that again.
There is no ball.
Yeah, there is no
ball. It's just life.
It's just life, right? And there's no shoe either. We're constantly waiting for the shoe to drop. There's no shoe. There's nothing. It's just life. And, you know, life gets lifey. Like, that's just how it is. And so if we're constantly on edge because we're afraid we're going to drop something or waiting for this shoe to fall, it's creating a stressful situation already before anything has even happened yet. So let's just unsubscribe to that and figure out how do we create a healthier blend so we can actually move back and forth with more ease, without the guilt, without the shame.
That is such a great visual too, because you're right, that work-life balance, as soon as you said that and started describing the visual of it, oh, what a mess. Just seems like plates and shoes and balls falling from the sky. But when you talk about it as a blend, I mean, it's so true too, though. Like the blend, sometimes you have to let it bleed a little more one direction or the other direction. And that's okay.
Of course it's okay. Of course it's okay. Yeah.
That's just, and I mean, just even telling yourself that, talk about language power. Well, we haven't talked about it, but I'm really excited about this next question. Because everything you're saying has been so applicable and usable. This next question, what's the difference between positive psychology and toxic positivity?
Ooh, I love this too. Because oftentimes when we start to kind of go into this world of, you know, you have a choice and change your language, people, I think, especially in education, have been burned quite a bit with this idea of toxic positivity, where it's like, well, just, you know, smile through it, guys, and it's going to be okay. Or, you know, if we just think about the positive, then we can push through and carry on. And that is quite the opposite of what I'm saying. What I prefer to think about is not even the word positivity at all. I like to think of alignment, because when we're in alignment, then we're checking in with ourselves about, well, what am I feeling right now? What do I want right now? Who do I want to be in this moment right now? And then we get to make choices regarding our thoughts, our language, our actions that's aligned to that. Because it's not always positive. Like if I'm really angry about something, putting a smile on my face is not going to make the feeling go away. What it's going to do, it's going to zhuzh it down, and it's actually going to stay there and fester for a little while until it comes out in some way that doesn't make anybody around me happy. And what toxic positivity does is emotional bypass, where we're bypassing some of these emotions that don't necessarily feel good, but as a human being, we have this beautiful gift of having an array of emotions that we just don't get to cherry pick the ones that feel good. We have this beautiful chance to feel rage, to feel sorrow, to feel anger, to feel resentment. And no, they don't feel good, but we need to honor our humanity in this way by feeling the feelings so we can get to the other side. You know, Emily Nagoski and Amelia Nagoski in their book Burnout describe emotions beautifully as tunnels, right? And so if we're afraid of being stuck in the tunnel, we're never going to attempt to feel anything. But if we recognize that there's an end point, right? There's an outside point to this tunnel, we can move through them, because all emotions are is neurocircuitry in your brain. You think a thought that turns on a switch that causes some neurochemicals to flood through your bloodstream, and you're feeling an emotion. And according to neuroscientist Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor, those neurochemicals only take about 90 seconds to run through your bloodstream. And so if you continue to think the same thought, you'll continue to feel the same feelings, but you also don't have to. You can change, but you need to feel through it in order to get to the other side. You can't just opt out. You can't unsubscribe to emotions. That's one thing you can't unsubscribe to. So this toxic positivity doesn't make any sense to me. And positive psychology can be important, but I really like to think about it as alignment instead.
Wow. I love how you threw some neuroscience in there for some just wow. And you referenced a book, so we'll have to come back to that at the end of the episode so we can make sure to get it jotted down. But what great tools. A, you just have to feel an emotion for 90 seconds and then you can move on.
If you want to. I mean, for me, some of my anger requires more than 90 seconds. I am choosing to feel through it though, because I want my body to be clean and clear of the emotion. You know, when the cortisol and the adrenaline, it goes rushing through your body. If you're not expressing yourself physically, those emotions, those neurochemicals are going to stay inside of your body because feelings happen in your body. Thoughts happen in your mind, feelings happen in your body. So a release does need to be physical. That's why you can't tell someone to calm down and it works. In fact, it probably makes them more angry, you know?
Right.
So doing something physical is really important, like crying, like screaming. That's something that I actually really like to do when I'm feeling a really big emotion. I'll get in my car, roll up the windows, and just let out a scream. I often go to a rage room where, have you ever been to one of those?
I've seen one. I've never been.
Oh, they're awesome. I host some educator events there too, and I always get a big copy machine. So we can just smash the copy machine. But getting it out in a way that's healthy and safe and productive is essential to then move on, right? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it just stays in our body. But many of us have never been taught how to handle our emotions that are, you know, anger and rage and sadness and frustration in a way that's safe and healthy and productive. We just, you know, you get to a certain age and throwing a temper tantrum just really isn't that appropriate anymore. But nobody tells us, right? But nobody tells us like how to do it. So we just don't. And now we are where we are, which is, you know, suppressed. And all of us have all of these emotions that we don't know what to do with. So we're emotionally exhausted and burned out, and telling us to smile about it isn't fixing the problem.
It's so true. But what you just said, you have to have ways to be safe, healthy, and productive as you process through them. And you've listed a bunch of different ways to process, but you've also listed a bunch of emotions to process, which I think just par for the course, taking time. It's not just all happy, sad, angry, frustrated. There's so many more emotions to feel.
100%. And acknowledging them for what they are, and giving them the time of day, because it is part of our humanity. It's one of the most undernourished parts of our humanity, in my opinion. But this is why I do the work that I do in this world. Because if children see the adults in their lives processing their emotions in ways that are healthy, safe, and productive, they then know how to do that too. And that to me is the biggest gift, because yes, I work with mostly adults, but this is really about kids, you know. Teachers are in the business of making generational change, and we need to start shifting the way we do our things so they have a new paradigm as to how they get to grow up and what it means to be an adult, really.
Mm-hmm. These have been great questions. I hate that we're already on the last one. It's flown by.
Yeah, it's been great talking with you.
We know the sacrifice renewal cycle. We know the power of language. We know the work-life blend. And we've talked about the difference between positive psychology and toxic positivity and changed that to alignment instead. So our last question, the quote shoulds and supposed tos that are keeping us from work satisfaction.
So what I like to tell the people that I work with is, you know, we don't should on ourselves and we don't should on other people either, because all should really is judgment, and all judgment is self-judgment. And a lot of times where the shoulds come from are actually either tradition or other people. So when you catch yourself saying to your, you know, I really should be doing this, or I'm supposed to be doing this, that's a moment to ask, you know, whose should is this? Because I would always wager that it's not yours. It's probably somebody else's. And if you are living your life according to other people's shoulds and supposed tos, you're not living your life. And especially as somebody who grew up doing all of the quote unquote right things, who, you know, got the job, went to college, got the job, got the husband, got the kids, got the house, got the, you know, all of the things. We wake up one day and we're like, we have all of this stuff. Like, why am I not happy? Why aren't I fulfilled? And often it's because of the shoulds. And it's a beautiful moment to catch yourself and ask yourself some really important questions. And I will be honest with you too, for a while, I didn't want to ask myself those questions because I would have had to make some really difficult decisions and have a moment of confrontation, you know, looking at myself in the mirror. But on the other side of that is beautiful reminder of your agency, of freedom, of living as most authentically as you possibly can and to the fullest expression of self. And that's really what this life is about, is understanding who you are and living you to the absolute fullest. And truly, that is another big part of what I do here in working with educators, is showing them, I kind of shine a little flashlight what's in front of them to the choices that they have to step into themselves. So that way they can be an expander for their students and for the people around them to be fully expressed versions of themselves too.
I love what you said, because there's that How to Be a Badass book by Jen Sincero. Mm-hmm. And I always tell my singers, you are the only you there is on this planet. Do not rob us of the opportunity of experiencing you because you are scared of something. You've just got to be you. But I love this. You have to understand who you are to live into the full version of you. That is so true. And it goes back all the way to the beginning of our conversation with that emotional intelligence and how do you talk to yourself and what's your renewal sacrifice cycle. It just all ties in together so you can live into the fullest realization of yourself.
100%. And it's such a beautiful thing. I think one of my favorite things about my job right now is to be able to witness people. Oh, I'm going to get emotional talking about it. Mm. I get to witness people do that for themselves. And that is just the most beautiful thing. I do not take a moment of that for granted. It is very powerful. And I am in awe all the time.
Well, I'm so thankful that you have spent time today sharing so many little insights into this awesome world that you've created. I'll make sure all the links are in the episode notes so people can connect with you, but we have to ask our end of show questions. You talked about a book earlier about burnout. What is that book and who wrote it?
Sure. That's Burnout, Completing the Sacrifice Renewal Cycle, I think is a tagline, but it's Amelia Nagowski. And I actually had the honor of interviewing Amelia Nagowski on my podcast too. So you can also check out that episode as well. She's a phenomenal person to talk to, who's also a choir director.
Cool. And what's your podcast name?
Take Notes with Jen Rafferty. That's so fun. Yes, I love that podcast. It's one of my favorite things that I get to do.
That is awesome. So I feel like the organization that we should illuminate is the one that you've created. Tell us a little bit more about what it's called and how people can find it.
Sure. Empowered Educator is, you know, the easiest way to take a look is empowerededucator.com. At the resources page, there are a ton of free resources there. I've also just developed a beginner's guided meditation series, because especially as a busy teacher, like type A Capricorn, I was like, there's no way I'm sitting my butt down for 30 seconds and meditating. That's crazy. I cannot do that. So I created this for people who don't think they have time, who don't think they're good at it, or are not sure how to do it. And you can get that at empowerededucator.com/meditations.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. All right, last question. This is it. What is the message that you want to put out there, the one that really matters today?
I think the most important thing, and I've said this earlier too, but I want to underscore it, is the most generous thing you can do for other people is take care of yourself. And when we start to prioritize ourselves that way and understand that when we show up as our best selves, that's truly how we can serve other people. When we start to realize that and flip the script about what our role is here in this world, then I think everything will start to change.
This is so good. Jen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. This has been really wonderful.
All right. What did you think? What did you learn? What are you taking away from this one? I took 6 pages of notes. There's so many things I can't wait to try. I love this idea that our language is powerful and it directs our attention. I love that there are problems, but we have choices. That there's no ball, there is no shoe, there's nothing that's about to drop. It's just life. I hope that you are finding alignment in whatever you're doing today. I hope that you know that you are the only you that there is. And I hope that the tips and tools and techniques in this episode will help you illuminate everything that needs to happen for you to be your most aligned self. So in case no one has told you today, you matter. We all know that what we're doing matters. And I'll see you next time.